Okay, Kristen, I'm going to name a few things. The Olympics, the Summer Olympics, The Watch,
The
the new
Watch.
Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill comedy, the Kristen Stewart, Rupert Sanders, Robert Pattinson love triangle.
Our Pats.
And what do these three things have in common? Nothing. That's right.
Oh.
Absolutely
You didn't even
nothing.
give me a chance to come up with an answer.
But we're going to talk about all of them. As you were saying, we should cue the Entertainment Tonight theme song right now.
Let's just do that.
You don't think they'll sue us if we do that? We're not trying to be or pretend to be Entertainment Tonight. We just think it's funny.
I'm Mary Hart.
And I'm John Tesh.
Yes! And this is Movie Date.
All right, Kristen.
We're not really John Tesh.
No, we're absolutely
not.
And
it's not really 1982.
No. it's so embarrassing that the first person I could even think of for Entertainment Tonight was John Tesh, who has not been on the show in years. Okay.
I'm Kristen Meinzer.
Yes, and I am Rafer Guzman. and this actually is Movie Date, and it's not Entertainment Tonight. We just have a lot of stuff to talk about, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And one of the first ones I think we need to address, because it's such a serious issue
for America,
and it weighs so heavily
maybe
on
for
so
the world.
Many people's lives, is the Robert Pattinson, Kristen Stewart. Does Rupert Sanders have a slangy nickname yet?
No.
Are we calling him San-San or like Rue?
Two-timing dog.
Kristen, I see where your feelings are on this. Okay, so let's recap. For those of you who don't know, Kristen Stewart and her...
Kristen Stewart of Twilight fame.
Kristen Stewart of Twilight fame and of Snow White and the Huntsman fame apparently was... I don't know if we're saying that they had an affair or if they were canoodling or what they were doing, but...
They're calling it an indiscretion.
Oh, that's right. That's right. An indiscretion with mistakes were made with Rupert Sanders, her director, on Snow White and the Huntsman. And as, of course, everyone knows, and I guess it's real, she's been dating and I think living with Robert Pattinson.
Yes, since early 2010, they came out and told the world, yes, we're actually dating.
Okay.
And
so there's some scandal here. Rupert Sanders is married. He's got two children. And he also cast his wife in the movie with Kristen Stewart as her mom.
Yeah, playing Snow White's mom. And... Liberty Ross is her name, by the way.
Yes, thank
Rupert's
you.
Wife's name is Liberty Ross. She's a former model. He started dating her when she was a teenager.
Oh.
Maybe he just likes brunette teenage girls.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He might just really like brunette teenagers.
But here's my question. Why do we care and why should I care?
Why?
Yes. Why do we care? And I sort of know why we care, I suppose. But I guess the other question is, why should we care? Why should I care about this?
You know why you shouldn't care?
Why?
Rafe, because you're not a 12-year-old girl.
Okay.
You know, right. When you're young and you put so much faith into what love is and what others should do and you somehow self-identify with certain stars.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who that would have been for you. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
You just wanted to be David Cassidy so badly. But you have this – I don't know if boys even do that. I know girls do that. And in the aftermath of all this – hundreds and hundreds of death threats for Kristen Stewart all over the Twitter sphere.
Yeah.
People take it very seriously. You don't want to break our Pats' heart, Kristen, or I will break your neck.
Yes.
Those kinds of things, you know? I just think we get very invested when we're young and we're emotional and maybe especially when we're girls and our ideas of romance and idealism. And I mean, think about the dumb absolutism of the stuff we say when we're teenagers. I would never blank.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah,
everything's so black and white. Anybody who does this is a blank.
Sure.
And it's like, and now we've all done those things.
Yes.
And we're like, eh.
Yes, we sure have.
Maybe,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good point. I don't know, but do you think it's just the young girls? I feel like it's people of all ages and all stripes that care about this stuff. I don't think it's just young girls who are making Us magazine fly off the shelves.
And why do you think that other people care?
I don't know. I think there's just a little schadenfreude in it. And I think there's also just this idea of people just like to get up in other people's business, basically, right? It's the same thing that's been driving, trash television, Jerry Springer and the reality shows. People just want to... you know, see some other people screw up and they want to be able to backseat drive their lives and criticize them and all that kind of stuff, I guess.
Well, I will say that I am not afraid to criticize. That was a dog move, Rupert. You're married with two kids. Have the decency to go to a cheap motel room, use the casting couch or somewhere else. Don't be doing that out in public. No, he was photographed with Kristen Stewart making out in like six locations in one day, in the car, on a cliff, walking in a field. You know what? Let's learn something from the golden age of Hollywood. Just do that on the casting couch.
All right. Last question. Do you think this is going to actually affect Kristen Stewart's career? Will it affect the new Twilight? Is it going to have any lasting damage?
People are always going to see Twilight.
Yes, well, that's okay. You're right about that.
There's nobody who loves Twilight who's going to not see it because of this. But
I'm going to boycott Twilight. I won't go see the final episode of Twilight.
I think that it might hurt her standing with some teenage girls after
this. Yeah, it's possible. It's
possible. So. But I do think also that a part of me wonders if the whole thing is just a publicity stunt too.
Yes, I know. I think the exact same thing.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder. It's like, oh, this way our Pats and I don't know. Taylor Lautner maybe can finally be together. You know, I just there's something that says to me something else might come out of this.
Yes. Okay. Well. All right. That would be good if that would happen. All right. Well. So there we go. That's enough of that. Why don't we talk about the Olympics, the Summer Olympics coming up in London. When are they happening exactly?
They've already started happening.
Oh, they've already started.
Oh.
Wait, did we? Oh, yeah, that's right, because we missed opening ceremonies.
No, opening ceremonies are today, but soccer starts a couple days early, so the women have already been playing. The men have been playing soccer. But today is a magical, magical day. By the time this goes up, opening ceremonies will have started. And who are the opening ceremonies being directed by this year?
Yes, that's right. Danny Boyle.
Yes.
You see how closely I follow sports,
Kristen? You really love sports.
You know
I just
about
cannot
me.
Get you to shut up about sports. Sometimes I'm just like, Raver,
yak, but sports.
Yak. Just come on. I don't care about the NBA anymore. But Danny Boyle, best known for Slumdog Millionaire, Trainspotting, and, you know, Shallow Grave.
Yes, that's right. Shallow Grave.
Another movie that I really liked a lot.
Me too.
He is directing, conceptualizing, putting together this whole opening ceremonies thing. And I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't either. Not known as a choreographer, Danny Boyle. I mean, except for some of the Bollywood, you know, scenes, I suppose, in Slumdog Millionaire, or really just the last number in Slumdog Millionaire. But yeah, that's an interesting choice. I mean, I think what they're looking for basically is hot British names to sort of, you know, be the face of Britain, right? Isn't Paul McCartney also supposed to perform? And
Muse is doing the theme song.
Muse, one of the worst bands on the planet Earth. I don't understand. I think I saw Muse open up for U2, and I remember hating the band before and feeling that I was just completely justified after seeing them open up. Anyway, that's getting a little far away from movie topic. Sorry. But I think they're just they're looking for sort of big British names to sort of represent that country to the rest of the world, which is understandable.
And I'm trying to go in with an open mind, but I'm not that open because I don't think anyone's ever going to top China. Opening ceremonies that China
yes,
did,
that's true.
They were out of control. They were like North Korea-level synchronized great games. And to a point where it's like I had a feeling if you did not perform to your highest level, they were going to take you out back and torture you.
That's right.
And with 1.5 billion people or whatever it is in China, they could just replace you. So we are not afraid to kill you if you don't do this well. And this time around, London doesn't have that many people. They can't replace you.
No, they're no empire anymore. They need those citizens. Yeah,
they do.
Right.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
I'm going to be hopeful. And regardless, I will cry because I always cry during the opening ceremony.
I'm sure you will.
I get very emotional. I just do. But let's take this opportunity real quick. What is your favorite Olympic movie, Rafer? Your favorite Summer Olympic movie?
Yeah, my favorite Summer Olympics. I was going to choose Blades of Glory because
it's
so funny, but that's Winter Olympics. All right, this is the old fuddy-duddy film critic in me, but Million Dollar Legs from 1932 with W.C. Fields, a Summer Olympics movie. Very, very, very funny movie. Overlooked comedy. about a fictional country, Klopstockia, that enters the Olympics. And there's a small sort of Slavic village somewhere where all the people, all the citizens just happen to be endowed with ridiculous supernatural strength. And so they enter the Olympics trying to compete. But of course, there's a villainous country that tries to undermine them. And W.C. Fields plays the president of Klopstockia. My favorite thing about Klopstockia is that all the men are named George and all the women are named Angela. And of course, there's a guy in the film who falls in love with this beautiful peasant girl, Angela. He's an American and says, tries to go find her and runs through Klopstockia screaming, "Angela, Angela!" And there's a montage of old women, young women, children, goats all looking up at him. And I think it's funny. It's a good example of the movie. It's a very funny film and worth watching.
That sounds great.
It is. It's
that
a sounds great really movie.
Good. It sounds possibly a little bit more fun than my pick for my favorite Summer Olympics movie.
Which is
the – it's actually Paralympics, but it's Summer Paralympic Games.
Oh.
Murderball.
Oh, Murderball. Good choice, which I never saw.
What?
No, I never saw it.
You need to see this. As the father of two sons, it's such a father-son movie. I know you're not into sports.
Oh, really? Okay.
But it's, like, to a great extent, it's really just about father-son relationships. You have one father who's a coach who's just a bully who's in a wheelchair. This is all about wheelchair rugby, by the way, which is kind of like just the roughest, craziest version of football in wheelchairs combined with you're passing balls, you're tackling each other.
I've seen clips, yes.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great movie. But the relationships between the fathers and the sons are really what this movie's about, to me at least. And you have this one coach who's just a bully. He's in a chair. He's won many championships in the Olympics and otherwise. And he has a son who's not in a chair, and he just berates his son constantly. His son's a loser. His son's never going to be good enough. And you know, if he wasn't in that chair, he'd probably be beating the crap out of his son. He's just a jerk. And then you have this other father-son relationship where the son is in the Paralympics. He's a medal winner, and he's mostly paralyzed, like 90% of his body. And his dad just loves him so much and cries and cheers for him the whole time. And so you see these two totally different father-son relationships. And I'm getting foot-clumped talking about it.
I'm not sure. Even as you're describing it, I'm getting choked. I'm not sure I can handle it.
It's just terrific.
Well, as you and many other people who know me will enjoy hearing, I'm actually coaching T-ball for my 4.5-year-old this summer. So perhaps I really should see Murderball.
You should see it. This will prepare you to be the ultimate sports dad.
You'll be great.
You'll be great. But you know what we should also do since we're talking about the Olympics?
Trivia.
All right. We have a trivia question.
This is all you. You came up with this one, Kristen.
Oh, we did it together. We did it. All right. So we have an Olympic-themed trivia movie challenge. So the question is, which Oscar-winning movie star was on the short list for the U.S. Olympic team in 2000? That was the Sydney Games.
I never would have gotten this question.
It was the Sydney Games. So Team USA in 2000 for the Olympics, which movie star was on the short list?
If you know, give us a call, 5717-MOVIES.
Or you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviedatepodcast.
All right. Good question. Now it's time to talk about The Watch.
We're not going to let Glenview be ground zero for some alien invasion.
We can't trust anyone.
Look at his face.
Look at my face.
Look at his face and listen to me.
Look at him and listen to me.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Look at him and understand me. Look at both of us, but understand no one. Listen to my words and hear his face.
We have to do at least one new movie release conversation this week. And
it's the whole point of the podcast.
Yeah.
So The Watch, the new comedy.
Jonah Hill.
Ben Stiller.
Vaughn.
Ben Stiller, newcomer, Richard, I don't know quite how to pronounce his name, Richard Ayoade. I'm going to take my best guess on that one.
So handsome.
Oh, yeah? Is he handsome, that
Jamarcus?
Guy? Jamarcus,
oh,
yeah.
He plays Jamarcus. And he is just,
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad
Every time
that.
He was on camera, I was just like, I like you.
Multi-talented writer, director, actor. This is not his first film. He directed his own film, Submarine, but this is his, I think, first feature debut as an actor. So this is the story of four guys who come together in a suburb in Ohio. They're going to be the neighborhood patrol guys.
Voluntary, total vigilante, neighborhood watch group.
Okay. And of course, the reason this movie is famous these days is because it used to be called Neighborhood Watch before the Trayvon Martin shootings gave that name some different connotations. And so now this just became The Watch. But in this film, the dads get together. Well, they're not all dads. They're just suburban schmoes, I guess you would say. They all get together. They kind of hang out. They drink beer. They talk. They goof around. And then it turns out that they actually are besieged by space aliens. So that's the premise of the comedy. Kristen, your thoughts?
You know what? I really thought that the last 10 minutes of the film, very enjoyable. It was just everything leading up to the last 10 minutes. I just thought,
oh, really?
Oh, gosh. Just put Jamarcus back on screen so I can look at him. He's so handsome. But I don't really care about the rest of this nonsense. I really don't. I felt that it moved a little bit slow. I felt it should have been snappier, crazier, wackier.
Yeah. Okay.
Snappier. It could have been an 85-minute movie, but I think it was actually an hour and 40 minutes.
Maybe.
And then I don't know. Jonah Hill. I'm getting kind of tired of Jonah Hill doing Jonah Hill.
Oh, really? Are you?
Yeah, I love Jonah Hill. I loved 21 Jump Street.
Yes,
you know,
right.
But this kind of like, I live with my mom and I'm not quite an adult and I'm still socially awkward. I wish I could get laid. I'm kind of tired of that character.
Well, while I did actually like this movie and I, you know, it's not like I would give it a full-throated recommendation and say, run out and see this film. I found it funny. I think it gets by mostly on the strength of the cast. I think Stiller and Vaughn have worked before, so they kind of have a fairly easy rapport, I think. And Stiller has actually worked with Jonah Hill before in Night at the Museum, the second Night at the Museum.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Little small brief scene, which I thought was funny. This is the first time that Vince Vaughn and Jonah Hill have ever been in a film before. And I actually think that they made a pretty good couple. I thought they made a good team in this film. For some reason, this is not usually my kind of humor, but for some reason when Vince Vaughn starts peeing into the beer can and then Jonah Hill has to sort of conduct the affair, I just thought that to me was funny. And I think it showed that these two guys had a similar sense of humor and kind of knew how to play off each other pretty well. And I think the movie gets by merely because these guys just sort of know how to do this shtick, right? They've been doing it for 10 years now, doing the kind of hang time comedy. And it works for me for the most part.
Okay, I mean, Rafer, I'm really sorry to interrupt this.
Yeah.
But I have a confession to make.
Okay.
I have peed in a car before.
Kristen, haven't we all?
In a cup.
That's more impressive coming from you than it is from me.
I know,
though.
And I just want to say, every guy I know has done this, but I'm a girl and I've done this. And I needed to mention that right now.
All right. And look, I give you full credit for that.
You know,
I'm
that
impressed.
Jersey Turnpike when it's like car to car to car, bumper to bumper traffic, and you just came from IKEA and you're trying to get back to Brooklyn.
Look, for me, I remember it was the Bay Bridge in San Francisco.
How long was it just going to be a half hour wait before you could?
Those hours. It was hours. We were on the bridge for hours, literally hours.
Oh, God.
And we've been drinking, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, Rafer.
It was bad. It was wrong. I'm sorry.
That's awful.
Just like the guys in The Watch. Anyway, so what do you say about this one? You say this is good date, bad date.
I can't believe we're just talking about peeing in cars. Right?
I know.
You know what? It was an okay date.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. It's a perfectly fine date.
I think you liked it better than I did.
Probably.
I'd be fine if I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
My life would be totally fine.
Well, sure. Yeah. All right. I would have to agree with that. But I think if you're looking for, you know, an amiable kind of dude comedy, this is you could do worse.
Yeah.
Kristen, restate the trivia and then we'll get the heck out of here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but we should do listener responses.
Oh, listener responses.
Yeah.
Okay, I forgot about that.
You know what? We love you guys. Thank you for listening, everybody. And we asked you guys to tell us the best movie or the worst movie that you've seen so far this year.
Right.
And we got several responses. Rafer, do you want to read a couple of them?
Okay, I'll read one from Deborah.
Okay.
She said, I might answer Prometheus for both. Parts of it really were visually stunning, but man, oh man, did it not make a lick of sense, which I have to completely agree with. And I would also say, actually, this exact same thing about Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, Dark Knight Rises.
Visually stunning, wonderful, did not make a lick of sense.
I have no idea what happened in that movie.
All right,
I just
there you
don't
go.
Know. Yeah.
Kristen, you read one.
Sandra wrote, I really loved Moonrise Kingdom. My least favorite would probably be One for the Money, even though I've never seen it.
Sandra, I'm going to say that's unfair.
I think That's hilarious. I might agree with you on the second part, not on the Moonrise Kingdom part.
But and I will tell you that it was that One for the Money was not a very good film. I saw it. I did the work for you so that you don't have to, Sandra.
Oh, thank you.
Here's one from Todd Stevens. I happen to know he lives in Brooklyn, so I've outed you, Todd. Todd says Moonrise Kingdom is for sure on the best list. Avengers the worst, though I'm sure it's just the worst that I've seen. I'm surprised that he would say that Avengers is the worst.
Avengers
Although
was really bad.
Although I think you
though.
Thought Avengers was the
Avengers
worst too,
was
Kristen.
Terrible. Avengers was terrible. Avengers was terrible. Okay, so Caitlin wrote in to say, as far as Moonrise Kingdom, Rafer and I were saying, we didn't love it. And Caitlin wrote in to say, you are not completely alone in your opinions about Moonrise Kingdom. My hubby and I are both Wes Anderson fans, and we thought Moonrise was fine, pretty, but not that engaging. We were actually kind of bored. Yeah.
Hooray, Caitlin.
Yay, Caitlin. Thanks for taking our side on this one. Thank you. All right, guys. If you have any comments you want to give us, remember, you can always go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/moviedatepodcast. And let's remind our listeners of the trivia.
Yes.
Which Oscar-winning movie star was on the shortlist to be on Team USA in the 2000 Olympic Games?
A great question. I did not know this. 5717 Movies, if you know the answer. Give us a call.